said Blakely has served in different capacities under a succession of presidential administrations, has guided government policy on urban planning, and is a widely cited academic. My name is Sean Bruton, and each week Ed and I have a chat about what's the latest news out of the United States, talking everything politics, planning and policy, from sea to shining sea. Find us on iTunes, Wooshka, Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Getting right into it this week, White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer has resigned following the appointment of a good friend of Trump, Anthony Scaramucci, as Communications Director for the White House. Is this the straw that broke the camel's back, or what's your take?
Well, the mooch is the mooch. He's mooching in. He's a guy that'll take advantage of anything to raise his own profile for his next job. This is a good gig for him. It wouldn't matter whether he's selling soap or dog meat. He just needs profile and good television time. I suppose Fox News has a good package for him on the end of this.
Last week we were talking about Donald Trump Jr. and Paul Manafort being scheduled before the Senate Judiciary Committee for July 26, but the committee has given them a bit of a break on that one. They only ended up providing documents. What's going on?
And an interview. Look, let's say you're after drug dealers. You don't catch the people taking drugs. You let them go and let the drug dealer think he's off scot-free. But you're running a very smart endgame, and that is getting all the people who are in the chain to give what little evidence they can, and then you come down on the big guys. Interestingly enough, I think the president, Mr. Trump, is wise to this, and so are the Russians, and they are scared to death that what's going to be uncovered is a long chain of private investments with the Russians that make Mr. Trump look like he's in their pocket. Have you ever thought about this? All during the crisis, in the American financial crisis, the Trump empire kept tooling along. Now, where's the money coming from? It wasn't coming from U.S. banks. It wasn't coming from banks we know about. But it looks pretty clear it came from Russian banks, and some of those Russian bankers now cannot do business in the United States, and all of them are close to Putin. So what the president is afraid of is not so much about collusion in the campaign. It's about him being a Russian pawn.
Now, also in part of this, Trump advisor and son-in-law Jared Kushner has testified as well. Some are saying he's thrown Trump Jr. under the bus with his statement basically saying, yes, I was forwarded this email from Trump Jr., agreed to this meeting where collusion was taking place, but I didn't bother to read it, which is something I could probably sympathize with. It was a very long chain email, said he didn't bother to read it, just agreed to this meeting, and here we are. What kind of fallout are we seeing?
Well, I don't think he's telling the truth in the first place. He doesn't just show up to meetings. This is a Russian person who is well known. He was urged to come because she has inside information and insights into the Kremlin, and from that, insights into the Democratic campaign. She's not just some lawyer who fell off the boat. She's the reason that the attorney for the United States in New York was fired, because he was after her regarding her dealings with the Russians. There's a deep, ugly story here. Jared's a pretty smart guy. He probably saw a little bit of this coming and ducked out, but he can't duck out forever because he too has Russian connections that are going to be very much exposed.
Now, in terms of all this disarray, Trump has been after his Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, as well. Firstly, saying he wouldn't have put him in the position that he's in if he knew Sessions would recuse himself from the Russian investigation. Now complaining he hasn't been tough enough in investigating Hillary Clinton. What is Sessions' ongoing loyalty worth at this point?
Well, Jeff Sessions will probably have to do his job, which he wasn't prepared to do. But what is this about? First of all, Jeff Sessions recused himself after he was appointed. He had no idea that recusal was possible because when he testified and was appointed, there was no evidence that he'd spoken to the Russians. So he couldn't recuse himself before he was appointed. He was recused himself after he was appointed and was in trouble. His recusal, he thought, was a place where he could stand on the sidelines and still help the president. The president has now seen with Mueller that the investigation is getting hot and he's got nobody on the inside. He's going after the acting FBI director, everybody. He really thought that if he put his people in charge, and he said this during the campaign, if his people were in charge, all this Russian business would go away. And Jeff Sessions was his point man, and Jeff has disappointed him, but really he has to look at himself. He's the one that caused the problem, and you cannot sweep this dirt under the rug. I just hope, believe it or not, that Sessions will stay, because the reason he doesn't want Sessions to be fired, and he can't fire him, this would be another step toward obstruction of justice, and he knows it.
I just want to also touch on the Republicans' debate around health care this week. The Republican-controlled Senate has voted 55-45 on Wednesday to reject a straight repeal of Obamacare. Now, I mentioned this last week. Donald Trump's positions on this one just seem to be constantly shifting. At one moment, he wanted to repeal. The next moment, he wanted Obamacare to stay around so it could die on the vine and he would be, I guess, vindicated, showing that it was a failure in its own right. What's your take on the latest?
There are two things going on here. Donald Trump promised the American people there would be a repeal and a replacement. He said that as late as yesterday when he was in Youngstown. He was thinking that I'm president, I can just do that. I don't have to consult with anybody. But he has to go to the Congress where he has zero perch. The Republicans who are voting against this, people who have good common sense are voting against it because the bill makes no sense. It's going to take health care away from 23 million Americans. That makes no sense at all. Those who are really hostile to any notion of health care are hostile to the bill because it will give some people health care, some people who can pay for it, and some other people who might be eligible for this new framework. What's going to happen? There are two possibilities. One is to take the money that was in Obamacare and give it to the states and let them do pretty much whatever they want with it within limits. That's an interesting option, but for small states, that's a disaster. Because if you're in Wyoming and you get back $100,000 to cover the same number of people, you're dead. But if you're in California and you get that money, you can give everybody Cadillac health care. The second option is what they call skinny Obama. That is to take out all the offensive stuff in the Obamacare bill that people don't like, or that is relatively expensive, or was simply a mistake. As a matter of fact, the Democrats want that one. So if that goes through, it really cleans up Obamacare and makes a whole lot of people happy. And you've only got about, well, you got Rand against everything. But you might get a couple of Democrats signing off, and then Rand is dead in the water because two or three Democrats signing on would make this bill pass. And, of course, the president would take credit for having designed this new great thing. The Democrats will insist that it be called either the Affordable Care Act Part 2, which is Obamacare Part 2, or the Affordable Care Act Modified. Boy, the president just sees Obama written all over that, but he's in the position that if he doesn't get something through, a lot of members of Congress who are up for election don't get through either.
And just finally, Ed, Donald Trump has come out and said that based on advice he's received, the United States military will no longer be allowing transgender individuals to serve in any capacity, claiming that trans peoples cause disruption and overwhelming medical costs for the military. Now, this is one conservatives like. You know, this is one of the little pet issues that conservatives will quite enjoy. But it's also something that will cost considerable political capital to really uphold. What's your reaction?
Oh, I don't think it'll make any difference at all. The transgender people who are there, who are in, who've already declared themselves as such, they will not be affected of those. And other people who go in just will be saying nothing. Say nothing, don't tell, stay in. The military does have a problem in that regard, and people who are not treated well leave anyway. I think this is almost a non-issue. He'll make it a big one, but most American people are on the other side of this, and there's so few transgender people, gender people, that it's a non-issue. It's almost like it's banned. Banning people who are already banned, big deal.
It almost seems to me like the reaction even from the White House press corps, who have struggled, they've struggled to answer any inquiries on this one, makes me think it was largely unplanned and Trump is just throwing out these non-issues, these controversial non-issues, to provoke more outrage as a distraction.
And he has no evidence for what he said about the cost or anything. If someone asks him for the evidence, he's really going to be up a tree. He'll say, somebody told me, or something like this. The military will just let this slide on by. A bigger issue facing us, and we'll talk about it in coming weeks, Tillotson might leave.
Ed and I will be back next week to talk the latest on American news and politics. Subscribe on iTunes and Wooshka to stay up to date. And show us some love on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.